There's a man over on the far side. It's Riyad Mahrez who can take it down. He's good enough to do that. Good enough to get Chelsea twisting and turning, and good enough and great enough to score an outstanding goal.
What a special talent Riyad Mahrez is. Outstanding again tonight. And his team were too, beating Chelsea by 2-1. Chelsea, 11 attempts in total, all 5 on target, came in the second half. For the 15th time in 16 games, Leicester had less possession, much less tonight, 35% to 65, 59% passing accuracy is the worst of any team in the Premier League this season. They will not care one jot. Leicester are top of the Premier League, the captain and man of the match with Patrick Davison.
Guys, well played. Wes, was that another special performance from this team?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we know it's going to be a tough game from the beginning, and you know, we want to get back on the top of the league and perform well. We was at it from the start. You know, the boys battled hard. I think we deserved the result.
Riyad, what is it now? 11 goals, 7 assists. Do you feel like no one can stop you?
Oh, I don't know if no one can stop me, but I need to do my best for the team. Today work as well, but you know the most important is the team, the performance of the team. We did a great game, and we deserve to win. I think so. We have to keep going. Yeah.
Tell us about how much confidence you're playing with, though.
Yeah, so I have a lot of confidence. You know, when you keep scoring and doing some make some assists, that's normal to have some confidence, but. You know, we are, that's not a final thing. You need to keep going like this for help the team, or I do my best.
Well, there's a lot of people talking about this guy being as good, maybe the best player in the Premier League at the moment. Would you go along with that? Is he that good?
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that. You know, he's been a match winner for us many times this season. If it's not assists, it's goals. He's had some special moments. He's given defenders nightmares, and he deserves to get all the accolades he's getting.
Did you enjoy that battle with Diego Costa tonight?
Yeah, you know, I know what I was in store for. He's a physical striker. He likes to put his body in the way. You know, my job is to match that, and I thought I'd done that well today.
Did you expect to win this game tonight?
You know, the boys are full of confidence. And we have to be. We're at the top of the league, and, you know, we can see what we want to see, how far we can get, really. So, you know, it's just one step at a time. Another great 3 points for us, and I think we deserved it.
How far can you get? Seriously, what's the target now?
Like I said, you don't want to get too carried away.
But, come on, Wes, get carried away.
No, we don't want to get too carried away. We just want to win, keep winning like we are, keep performing well, and then we'll see what happens.
Riyad, it's 35 points, so definitely safe at least.
Not definitely, but...
Not definitely?
No. We need 42 points for definitely be safe. So, yeah, it's good to have 35 points in 16 games, no?
That's right.
It's very good. So we have to keep going like this and this way, because we deserve all we did in the first part of the season. And we're happy.
I bet. Well, look, you're the Barclays man of the match tonight. Wes, do the honours.
Well done, mate.
Thank you, Wes.
Well done to them. Two big stories tonight then. We'll talk about Chelsea and their problems in a moment. But Leicester, what a story. How about that tonight?
Oh, again, fantastic. I think we're all sort of waiting for them to start losing games, you know, because it's too good to be true for them. But the way they're playing impressed me throughout the team. I think they sort of slightly hung on in the second half to an extent, but I suppose that's to be expected against a team of Chelsea's quality. And the story goes on, you know, that fella was a different class today. But I think they were all brilliant. Their performance wasn't at all times brilliant. They gave the ball away a bit, but there's a togetherness, a spirit about the club at the minute that makes them deserve to be where they are.
Were Chelsea beaten by the better team? Not just tonight, but full stop, the better team.
Oh, yeah. And I think we keep getting fooled by Leicester. I think we both thought Chelsea would win the game tonight. I think we're still getting fooled by Chelsea because we all of a sudden keep expecting it's going to turn around the next game. And on the flip side, for Leicester, we think it's going to stop. But looking at both teams tonight, Leicester look a team who should be at the top of the league. And Chelsea look a team who should be near the bottom. That's the way they've been, both sides have been playing all season. And continually we say the opposite of what we're seeing with our eyes, because we can't quite believe what we're seeing with our eyes. But it was proven again today by how far superior Leicester were. Chelsea had a rally up at the end, as you'd expect. Every team does that when you're 2-0 down. Go for it, get a few chances, may kid themselves that they've actually done well tonight. But they were thoroughly beaten and deservedly beaten.
So when I asked you earlier on this evening in the first hour, when should we start taking Leicester seriously? And I actually said not as a title contender necessarily, but as a top four team. What are you thinking now?
I mean, I still can't envisage seeing, you know, Chelsea, Leicester at the end of the season lifting a Premier League title. I can't. I mean, I'd probably have to be, no disrespect, maybe 5 or 6 games from the end of the season and they were at the top of the league. And that's because you're still not expecting that as the months go on, that they'll be able to sort of keep this run going. Will Vardy and Mara stay fit? And Conte, those three players,
and January, what could happen in January?
Well, I think they've got the 3 best players in the Premier League at the moment, those 3 I just mentioned. January is a difficult one for Leicester. Do they think, let's have a right go at this? Maybe to guarantee top 4, or as you say, maybe have a run for the title. But could bringing signings in upset the apple cart really of that balanced side? They all know what they're doing, they know they're playing each week. If you brought other players in, listen, I don't know, because if Vardy got injured, they never brought someone in, I'm sure we'd say he should have went to the transfer market. But it seems such a settled team now, they all know what they're doing. Frank mentioned the great team spirit that they seem to thrive on. And I think January is an awkward one for them, who they would try and bring in, if any.
What do you think, Frank? I mean, he said there they've had the 3 best players in the Premier League. Why not? Why can't they win it?
I'm the same as Jamie, I've got to say. I can't see them quite staying the distance. But top 4 is definitely there for them now. I think if they carry on playing the way they did there. I think it's important they keep their players in January. I think people might come in for Vardy, might come in for Mahrez. I think the players themselves, if they're smart, will stay where they are because they're playing great football. The club's got momentum. They individually have got momentum. And then you don't know. If they get in the top 4, that will be the incredible story.
He had you out of your seat tonight when he got his goal. How good was the man of the match?
He's brilliant. And, I mean, we shouldn't forget that it's just this season. Towards the end of last season, he was making great strides for Leicester. And some of the things you're seeing, I mean, you never, ever want to ever compare someone to Messi or Ronaldo, those two players. I think Frank said earlier in the show, they're a level above people. But he is doing things with that left foot that you only see Messi do. He's the only player I see do these things and go past people effortlessly. Let's remember who he was up against tonight. I think Aspilicueta last season was the best defender in the Premier League. And look at him now. He couldn't stop the cross. He can't stop the shot. Now, I think he's got to do better on both times, situations. But the ability of this lad now, you're thinking, Frank's talking about January, someone coming in for him, or maybe the end of the season. How much would he cost? And what teams are you talking about? Because normally, say Leicester wanted to sell a player, normally the next jump would be a team, maybe not Chelsea or Man United, but maybe Everton, Spurs, maybe even Liverpool. People who are just outside the top 4, trying to get into the top 4. But he's performing where you're thinking, how many players in the whole of Europe are actually performing better than him and have got better numbers than him? So you're actually thinking, the real top clubs could be looking at this player. That's how well he's playing at this moment.
How good is he? Is he up there with the best in your eyes?
Well, yeah, in a minute. I mean, we're talking about a short period of time now. The truth will be, if he can maintain it, then he really goes into a different bracket. But at the moment, yeah, you can't deny, Jamie said there is, if not the best player in the Premier League, he's in the top 3 with his teammates, probably. And with the way he's playing, what impressed me tonight about him and Vardy is they're putting fear in other teams. You can see Chelsea. I think, talking about Aspilicueta overcovering, maybe he's overcovering because he's nervous of things around him. He knows that they can be, you know, hurt them. So if he carries on playing that at the end of the season, as I say, he could go and win the Player of the Year. He can take them into the top 4. And him and Vardy are just, you know, they're unstoppable at the minute. They're unplayable when they play as they did today.
The problems mount for Jose Mourinho. Beaten again tonight, they're only a point clear of the relegation places. The Chelsea manager with Patrick Davison.
Jose, some fight towards the end, but overall, obviously, a difficult night. What are your thoughts on it?
I think they deserve to win. Because they were better than us during a longer period of time. I think we were the best team, I would say, for 20, 25 minutes, maximum half an hour. They were the best team for about 1 hour. Very consistent, very focused, not making mistakes, aggressive with everybody, playing high intensity, high tempo, great mentality. And difficult for us. Then we concede 2 goals that are unacceptable for me. Because I know one of my best qualities is to read the game for my players, is to read the opponent, is to identify every detail about the opponent. And these 2 goals the movement of Vardy between the two central defenders, the cross with the left foot, then Mare in the box, one against one, that I want one against two, because I want the midfield player also to close the best foot, are two goals very difficult to accept, a big frustration to accept, because it's like I feel that my work was betrayed, if is the right word.
I feel like your players haven't listened.
And then when we scored the goal, was like 15 minutes to go, 15 minutes that they transform in five, because the match almost finished there with the ball boys and the injuries and go in, go out, ball disappear, all this stuff that is not nice, but they did very well. And it's difficult for us to score goals when you have some players that are not in their best level, and it's obvious, and everybody knows that. And when you have some players, especially in some crucial positions, that they don't go to the normal level, it's difficult.
Is it hard for you watching some of those players, knowing they're champion players, knowing how good they can be? They're almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, it's hard. All last season, I did a phenomenal work, and I brought them to a level that is not their level, is more than they really are. Or this season, we are doing so bad that the players, for some reason, I'm not saying all of them, of course, I don't want to put some of them in the same basket, but clearly where some of them is so difficult.
What was the injury to Eden Hazard? You lost him after around half an hour.
No, the only thing I know is that in 10 seconds he made a decision himself.
He made it?
Yeah. So must be a serious injury, because he just left the pitch and he made a decision that he was not in conditions to go in. So must be something important.
What were you thinking then? Because you seemed to want him to go back on, and he tried for a few seconds.
He did his first reaction was, I can't, and I was going to make the change. His second reaction was, I want to try. And when he goes on the pitch, first step, and he immediately says, I can't do it. So it was him in a few seconds that had three different perspectives, but clearly he couldn't do it.
Are you worried that mentally, he's just with his form being as it is, that he's just not quite there?
No. He's injured. He's injured, clearly. During the game, I have no time to understand what is going on. I will have time now to understand where the injury was. But clearly, he tried, and he felt immediately that no way.
You made a couple of changes that seemed to have a positive impact. Took Terry off, put Fabregas on for one. Why did that lift your performance, or was it the changes that lifted you?
Well, I always try to help. I think today it helped, but was not enough. But we took John. We kept Zoom and Aspi behind, because they are fast to cope to their counter-attack, because in that part of the game, even more their game would be about counter-attack, an extra midfield player instead of a defender, and then an extra striker to have a better occupation of the box, because clearly Diego is in trouble in the box, and because he's in trouble in the box, normally his movements are outside the box, he's moving to the sides, and he doesn't occupy finishing areas. So try to bring Remy in and have another body there.
What do you try next to try and get some of these players going, to try and get this team going?
Well, I don't know another way than work at the top level, which is what I do every day. And again, I have to be honest and say that day by day in training, I have no complaints with the players. If I look to some matches and I feel frustrated with the difference between what they do in training and with what they do in matches, clearly yes. But I have to be honest with them and say that every day in training, I enjoy to work with them, because they want to work.
Top four gone now?
Yeah, clearly yes.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Wow, so much in that. At the end there, saying the top four has gone. He also said he felt betrayed
by his players tonight. What's your reaction to that?
Well, he's very angry. I mean, you can see that. He's spoken for a long while there. I think you can probably applaud his honesty to an extent. I agree with him. I think the players weren't as good enough tonight. I don't know about betrayed there, his words from the dressing room, but they certainly didn't perform. He can't go out and perform to these players that played pretty well 5 days ago. I think what I take from that is he's not sure where to go with it. I think he's tried to be strong with them quite a lot of times earlier in the season. He's tried to now sort of say after Tottenham, you know, that was their best performance, you know, trying to be a bit more positive. I'm not sure what he's saying then. He's not happy with them. I don't think he sees where. I think it was quite crucial where he spoke about, were they overperforming last year or are they just bad players? You know, he wasn't quite sure. He's questioning them. He's questioning the players as to how they can turn this around.
Could he have lost them, Frank?
I don't know about lost them. I think they're good players. There's far too many are underperforming than they have been for a while. I mean, this is Chelsea we're talking about now, and we're not talking about Chelsea. A bad year should be top six, you know, still there and thereabouts. Where they are, just above the relegation zone, isn't possible. So I don't know whether he's lost them, but something has to change. It has to change right now, whether it's attitude, whether it's performance, whether it's something. Well, that's only one man's decision, and that'll be Roman Abramovich. And I think he's probably looking at it very closely, obviously. We've been here before with Chelsea, where managers change midway through the season. I don't know how many times you can do that. You know, we had some good results from doing it before. We had a different set of players at that point. But I have to say that I think what they set out when they took Jose Mourinho back was a long plan. Now, what can they gain by getting rid of him now? Where they're probably not going to make the top four anyway, the top six. They're not going to get relegated, I think, if we're honest. So I'm sure there's a view to say, if I'm Roman Abramovich, hang on, let's see what happens at the end of the season. Why make a rash change now that can't really affect the year that much and then see where we're at the end of the year?
What do you think, Jeremy?
I think the words are used by betrayed, I think he is saying some of them have chucked it. I think that this quality of player shouldn't be performing like that. You can have a run of form. We've all had it as players, a bad run, 4 or 5 games. Sometimes it may last a bit longer, once or twice in your career. For a full squad of players to be performing like that, there's obviously a massive disconnect between the manager and the players. And Frank's mentioned that one man's got to make that decision. Now, I think it was interesting what he said in terms of, I took these players to a level they've never been to before. I think he's right. If you go through a lot of those players, don't think they were, you know, what Hughes achieved over a long number of time. A lot of them are maybe winning the first title. And Mourinho's won so much. So that's the decision for the owner. Does he look at it and think, I've got to change the manager? Or did he start thinking now, a lot of these players have got to go? And that's the decision he's got. But he's normally always taking the side of the players, and it's the manager who's gone.
That's the quicker fix, certainly.
Well, of course it is. But this can't continue. Something has to change. Now, the only way you can change it right now is by changing the manager. Because you can't obviously change the players. You may have to wait till the end of the season. You're not going to do major business in January. But the big thing about what Frank said about Chelsea had this idea of having sort of a stable figure as a manager. Maybe looking to what Arsenal and Manchester United have done. They've got one of the most successful managers in world football over the last 10, 15 years. He's our figurehead. We want him as the manager. But this is a man who's never done that. He's never, ever been anywhere 3 or 4 years. Now, never mind never being anywhere in a run that they're in right now. So we keep thinking, Mourinho, this great manager, will turn it around. The reason he's struggling to turn it around is because he probably doesn't know what to do. He's never been here before. He's never lost games. He's not used to just losing a home game for 4 or 5 years. Never mind losing, was it 9 games they've lost now this season? And what's he going to say tomorrow when he gets to the training? What he hasn't already done? He's probably had team meetings, one-on-ones with the players. Give them the stick. Then it's become the carrot after the Spurs game, what Frank mentioned. Where does he go from here?
Because what do the players think, Jamie, when they've heard tonight a word like that, betrayal, a word about that last season, when he questioned whether they'd overachieved?
Well, if you look at the performances, he may feel he's right that some of them have overachieved, because you look at them now, this is not a team being unlucky. They're in the bottom six for goals scored, they're in the bottom six for goals conceded, so they are where they should be. But in terms of the players, how they feel, I don't think what he's just said tonight will affect that. I think that's gone before. I think some of them have chucked it. I think some of them, I mentioned a disconnect between them. Maybe they didn't appreciate the fact that he was challenging people early on the season, putting people on the bench, taking John Terry off at half-time, maybe again tonight. There's obviously a big divide in that dressing between the players and the manager. And then it's up to Roman Abramovich, whose side did he pick? Because this thing at Chelsea, you know, the manager and the players, they can't come back together and make Chelsea a great team or win things. I'll be very, very surprised if that happens next season. Either the manager won't be there or they'll have to completely change the players, because I don't think there's any way these players and manager can work together now for a long period of time.
And you talk about that he's never experienced a relegation situation like this, or a situation on the table they're in. Something else he hasn't done is younger players, something we've touched on before. Why now, if he's saying that about the players right now, why not experiment? Why not find out if they're good enough?
Well, in his view, they're not good enough. Simple as that. Now,
have they had the chance, though?
I think Loftus-Cheek, from what I've seen, could come in and give an energy and you know, ability to the team. You see it happening at Tottenham with people like Dele Alli. They bring a bit of enthusiasm. Maybe they're not as fearful of players that have been going through this terrible patch. He obviously doesn't believe they're ready to. Do you want to throw young boys into this situation now? I'm not sure. I think it's gone beyond that. I think the ideal time to put kids in is when you're playing well, when you're getting results and you can bring them in, bring them out and give them confidence. I don't think now's the moment. But I do think from the language he's used there tonight, to say betrayal, he wants to say that to the players. He wants a reaction. It's almost like he's got to right at the end of his tether with that performance there and said, I'm going to say out loud that I don't think that was good enough and it's not the message I've given. Now the fallout of that is what will be important. It's whether the players go in tomorrow and go, he had a point, let's try and turn this around, or whether they go away quietly and say, he's talking about us, it's not our fault, it's someone else's fault. And then you've got a problem that will go on.
Big, big problems for Chelsea and Jose Mourinho. What a contrast for Leicester and their manager, Claudio Ranieri. It just gets better and better. They've beaten the champions. They are top of the Premier League table. Claudio Ranieri with Patrick Davison.
Claudio, congratulations. How good were your team tonight?
I think we made a fantastic 1 hour. And the last 30 minutes, we suffer a lot. But they are the champions. We had to suffer to win the match. I'm very pleased with our performance. We play very, very well, compact, and try to do our best until the end. That is good.
What made you the best team for that first hour? What got you on top?
I think when we play with this piece and play 1-2 touches, we are all coordinated in the movement, they know very well. And I think this is our strength. And all the players believe in each other and help each other. Only in this way you can win against big champions.
In your programme notes, you use the word electricity.
Yeah.
Was that there again tonight?
Yeah, a lot of electricity. there was electricity, because without electricity we are a normal team. But with the fans who push behind us, it's fantastic. I'm very happy. They continue to dream, but we must to continue to stay with our feet on the ground.
Vardy scores again. Mahrez scores again, makes one as well. Two best players in the league at the moment?
It's difficult to say, but for my team, yes. For my team, yes, because everybody works hard, but without them, you can't win.
You said the fans can dream. You're top again.
Yeah.
Can you not start dreaming yet? Can the players?
No. I told to my players, 5 at the save. 5 points. We need another 5 points.
You're not still thinking like that?
Yes, I think about this. I put a target at the beginning of the season, 40 points. When we achieve 40 points, we change target, we change goal.
What do you think, though, when you look at the league and you're 20 points clear of Chelsea now, other big teams are dropping points? Do you feel like you might be one of the best, at least 3 or 4 teams in the league?
No, I don't think about it. I think how we consider goal, how we can improve. How I can improve my players to do better what we did. That is difficult, but they are very, very, calm, and they had to improve a lot.
Do you feel at least like you're going through a magical time in a club's history, and you're a big part of that?
Yes, of course. It's a magical. We must continue to work hard, because I don't want to wake up, no? I want to continue to dream with our fans. But after, during the training session, we had to put away our dream and work hard.
Just lastly, sympathy for Chelsea. Do you feel sorry for them, your old team?
Yeah, always it will be my team. But now I am Leicester manager.
Thank you. Well done tonight.
Thank you to you.
Well done.
And he's doing an absolutely superb job, and I love this contrast. Before the season started, 5,000-1 you could have got on Leicester winning the title. Now down to 20-1. Look at the top four finish, and bear in mind that every side with that number of points or better after 16 games has gone on to finish inside the top four. 5-2 they are now. They're 1,000-1 at the start. Look at the relegation odds as well. And Jamie Vardy to win the Golden Boot, top scorer, 11-8. And I reckon, or I'm told, that if you had Vardy in a double, Golden Boot and Leicester to win the league, it's about 2.5 million to 1. Wouldn't mind a quid or so on that. And you seem really chuffed and smiling when Ranieri's talking and his reaction at the end there. Whatever happens now, fair to say, his reputation well and truly restored.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you can't help but like him. You know, I work with him. I know he's a very nice man. He's got humour. He's got emotion. You almost see him get emotional when they win at the end of a game. So I think with his charisma and the way he's gone about his job there, he's not unsettled anything. He's just helped. He's getting the best out of his players. The story goes on. And I like the way he speaks. He sort of keeps his feet on the ground, but he wants to dream. That's the story that everyone, that's what the Leicester fans want to hear. They don't want to start talking like we did tonight, when's it going to end? They want to keep going. Maybe we can win the league, and good for them.
Right, just time on Monday Night Football for your questions. Let's start with this one. After the Champions League draw being done today, which English side do you think will go the furthest? Frank, sorry to hear you when you're down, but Chelsea. Get PSG, who are just the 17 points clear at the top of the French league.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the draw that, having won your group, it was the worst possible draw for them. On the bright side for Chelsea, I think, always time in Champions League, is how you're playing in February. It's when those games come around. So if Chelsea have a big change in form, then they're capable. But it was certainly the draw they didn't want to see today.
Chelsea, likewise Arsenal as well, really.
It is a nightmare draw, I think, for the two English teams there. I think Man City isn't too bad. I expect them to come through, but you certainly wouldn't expect too much progression there from English sides. I think the biggest blow for everyone was seeing Ghent and Wolfsburg come out at the start, because they were the ones everyone was praying for, and they're playing each other, which has killed the rest of them, really. You see Juventus, Bayern Munich, big game as well. But it couldn't have got worse for Chelsea, and it couldn't have got worse for Arsenal in the draw.
So City, therefore, to answer the question, City best place to go?
Oh, City, without a doubt,
yeah. Certainly City.
Both say City. Right. Next question. With Petr Cech's latest achievement with the clean sheets, Frank, is he the Premier League's greatest ever goalkeeper?
He's certainly up there. For me, he is. And I'm slightly biased, having played with him. But for what he's done over such a long period of time to break that record, and you think of greats, you think of Schmeichel. I know. We've had some great goalkeepers, really. Schmeichel's one I grew up always thinking he was the main man as a goalkeeper, but I think Petr Cech is at least on a level, at least, and he's still got years ahead of him. He's changed Arsenal's stability at the back. You know, it's what they've needed 5 years ago. For me, he's the greatest.
And the stats back that up. He's level with David James in far, far fewer games as well. When you look at that, 3-4-9 appearances to 5-7-2.
You know, we can't go completely on stats, but there's a lot to be said for them. That's a fantastic record. I think he's a quiet man. He does his job. That's what you want from a goalkeeper. You don't want too much messing around. You want him to make clean sheets, and you see there that he's done it.
You love your goalkeepers, don't you? Some achievement.
No, he is. He's one of the best. I'd think I'd still pump for Schmeichel. I think he's right. He's been a bit biased there.
You've gone from Man United keeper. That's
something I didn't even hear.
Yeah.
No, I think Schmeichel are just edging, but I mean, I'm surprised actually Schmeichel's not on that list. It must be to do with maybe how many games he's played, but we haven't been at United so long, you'd expect him to be on that list. But, you know, Cech, I mean, top of that list shows what a great keeper he is.
The right back in front of him obviously didn't help. What do you think of Klopp's post-game celebration in front of the Kop yesterday?
Well, I've had plenty of messages on social media about this, especially from Arsenal fans after criticising their team
selfie.
Yeah, exactly. I think people maybe are missing the point. It wasn't a celebration. You're not celebrating drawing against West Brom. I think it was a thank you for the supporters in the role they played in bringing the team back to getting the equalising goal. It's also commonplace in Germany, so it's something that we may see in the future from Liverpool and Klopp. But I think it was also a message to the supporter as well at Liverpool. The atmosphere hasn't been great for the last 18 months on the back of poor performances, really. And I think it was a bit of That's what you can do. You can help us. We need help. Get off your backside and give us a cheer. Roar us on. This is what I'm coming to Liverpool for, this famous Anfield crowd. I've come from Dortmund with the atmosphere. We all love going on Champions League nights. And he's come to Anfield expecting this similar atmosphere. And it hasn't been there. And I think it was said it was the best atmosphere he's had since he's been at Liverpool. And it's made a difference with them, you know, getting a point. So I think it's a bit of a message to Liverpool fans. Also, a thank you for the role that they played.
Frank, which, in your opinion, is the best goal you've ever scored, and which is the most important?
Most important goals when Chelsea won the league at Bolton. Scored two in a day. That wasn't the best technical goals, but it was the first time we, as a club, won the league for 50 years. So, for a feeling, for emotions, they were the best. Technically, Barcelona away. The new camp, bad first touch, took it far too far and then chipped it over the goalkeeper. Before you say it was a fluke, I'm waiting for you over there.
Frank, the toughest away ground you played at?
Toughest away ground, Liverpool and Tottenham. I think Liverpool was an atmosphere. I think those special days we had in the Champions League there, that was their extra man, I have to say, when we used to go and play them big semi-finals. And they can be hostile, do you know what I mean? They can be, but I like that. That's what it's all about, the Premier League and then big Champions League nights. And Tottenham was just such a ding-dong for Chelsea. I think they were ready for us. The atmosphere in those games over the last 5 or 10 years is something special.
It was quite atmospheric at West Ham as well.
West Ham, for me, personally was, yeah, as well. So I think those London derbies are always like that. And I think outside of that, going up to Liverpool.
Away grounds? You like Villa Park, don't you? It's amazing to think that the situation they're in and Premier League football now, obviously.
Well, like Villa Park, I mean, you talk about places you like going there because you used to always win there. That's why you like going there. I think Stamford Bridge, really, considering how great a side Chelsea had over the years, our results weren't too bad at Chelsea over the years. Arsenal was always a killer for us, especially at Highbury, I mean, the Emirates. Our record there was really poor.
At Highbury, did you feel that everything was really on top of you?
It felt like that when we had the ball, but when they had the ball, it felt really big.
It's strange, though.
Yeah, very strange. But then they went to the Emirates as well. I actually found it more difficult at Highbury, actually, than the Emirates. You'd think the bigger pitch would make it more difficult, but playing against that side of Vieira, Thierry Henry and that at Highbury, I think that was my toughest assignment.
Enjoy Sky Sports Live. On all screens, on the go, and the best bits on demand.